And welcome back Inside the Cave Weekend Edition. Pat Hazy and Went with you this morning. And in studio with us, we have a special guest, Phil Jacobs, the head football coach up at Dexter High School. No stranger to Lenawee County, former Adrian Maple coach. And Phil, welcome to the broadcast today.
Glad to be here.
And, of course, you had a big win this past Friday against Saline and Division I signee and Notre Dame and C.J. Carr. And tell us a little bit about the game.
Well, we came into it. We were guaranteed a co-champs at the very least. And in order to be outright champs, we had to knock them off. And we knew it was going to be a great football game, and nonetheless, it did turn out to be one. It went right down to the wire, the last play of the football game, and we got a stop on fourth down, and I haven't seen a crowd quite that large since the Maple Stadium days, and it was just an electric atmosphere, and we were happy to come out on the bright side of it.
And you said it came right down to the wire. Of course, I don't know how many years it's been since you've gone 8-0 on the season. This has got to be a banner year for Dexter football.
It is. If we win next week and go 9-0, it'll be the first time Dexter's gone. We clinched the SEC Red. It's the first conference championship that Dexter's had since 1963, when they were in the Washtenaw Athletic Conference. Mm-hmm. Put that in perspective, we're closer to 2063. So okay. It's been a long time coming, and our community is excited. They just rallied around football and our team, and it's a great experience. We got to slow down and enjoy it, but man, it's you're on to the next game, and it's hard to do.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
When you build something, you've been hovering around the 500 for a couple seasons. Sometimes people and coaches know, like, hey, when this class gets to be a senior or when they're at least on varsity, we'll have a shot. Did that happen at Dexter?
It did. Well, when we took the program over, we were in a 42-game losing streak. It was, there were 50, fans in the stands. We had 18 kids on the team, and now we've built it to where we've got 50-plus kids on varsity. As you mentioned, we've been hovering around 500, but we saw this class. They were in middle school when we arrived, and we knew they were going to be pretty special because they were already in the weight room and leaning on every word that we said, and we've retained 25 of those seniors, and most of them started on our defense last year, so we have a very senior-dominated defense this year, along with some pretty special Division I talents, too, that when you can kind of – you got a senior team with a lot of talent, and I'd like to say we have a pretty good coaching staff that's a recipe for success.
Gosh, well, segue. Pat, you have a question for him, right? He talked about coaches. He brought it up.
You said Division I players, and of course Cole Cabana.
That question was right there, Pat. Come on. You want to give a no? Okay, fine.
Cole Cabana going to Michigan next year, and do you have any interaction with the coaches from Michigan?
Yeah, sure do. Coach Hart, he contacts me, seems like weekly, and just to let us know. He's been to about every home game. They're not on the road. He's by himself or usually has a small little entourage with him and stands in the corner end zone, and it's pretty neat to see. And, there's times we'll have four or five other Power Five schools in attendance as well. And, this past Friday it was the same way. You have college coaches there watching. Of course, you got C.J. Carr. We've got Cabana and Parachek, who's going to Michigan State. And we got a safety, Micah Davis, who's got Michigan and Michigan State offers, and a couple other kids who've got a lot of Division II offers. So, it's like I said, it's just a magical season that doesn't come around very often. And
are most of these kids homegrown then?
Yeah. So every kid on our roster, with the exception of one kid, is a Dexter kid. And that's the nice thing about it is that past several years, our kids are all Dexter kids.
Could you speak to, you know, now sitting on top of the Red, can you talk about the league this year and just, you know, we know the differences between the Red and the White division. And normally, you know, those crossover games used to happen and they went one way or another. You know, could you give your perspective on the Red this year now that you've played all the way through it?
Yeah, it's a faster-paced conference than the White, simply because there you have schools that are all between 1,800 and 2,000 students with the Ann Arbors, the Monroes, Bedfords, Salines. And we went from the largest school in the White to the smallest school in the Red. And, you know, it is a much more competitive conference week in and week out. And not taking anything away from the White, because obviously we couldn't win the White when we were there.
But, right, yeah.
but it's, you know, the talent level is just different there. If you go to the, you know, base it on coaching, I think the White division has some outstanding coaches in it. And so you're competing against coaches in the White, you're competing against talent in the Red. And, I mean, that's the big difference right there.
And then that's just because pure numbers, right? You know,
yes.
Percentage-wise, now you may have had a fluke in a good way of a season for talent, but
yeah.
you just get more kids to pick from typically.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No question about it.
And looking at the Red, it's kind of surprising to see the Ann Arbor Ypsilanti schools kind of in the back seat, I guess. Ann Arbor Skyline, Pioneer, Ypsi Lincoln, and those schools, and then over in the White Ypsi community, having some tough times.
Yeah, they're not short on talent.
I understand that.
Yeah, so it's they just, for whatever reason, don't want to hire coaches that teach in the building. And they think that's the biggest issue with the Ann Arbor Public Schools. But, you know, thankfully we've got a good superintendent who he believes in athletics.
You traveled with him up to Dexter. Of course, we're talking about Chris Timmis,
yeah.
And very, very supportive, I'm sure, of your program.
Yes, he wants to see football win, and he's equipped us with all the resources to do so, and that's why we're Red champions.
Well, that's great. So we were talking here a few minutes ago about your game coming up next with Chelsea, a team that you've wanted to beat every year for the last, I'm sure, 20 years
mm-hmm.
that you've been coaching, even at Adrian. And I know you beat them a few times when you were at Adrian.
Yeah.
And but you were saying that Dexter hasn't had a winning record against them.
That's correct. You know, when we were at Adrian, it was really our big rivalry game. Mm-hmm. You know, you say Tecumseh and Adrian are big rivals, yeah, but the back then, it was Adrian Chelsea. It was between us, whether we won the conference or they won the conference. And now, you know, I'm at Dexter, and Chelsea is the rivalry with Dexter. It's 10 minutes away, and Dexter has not beaten Chelsea in 26 years. So hopefully this year is the year that we change that.
And are you surprised Chelsea three losses this year?
Yeah, I guess you could say you're kind of surprised to see them lose three, but coming off a state championship. But they did lose about every player on their team because they started all seniors last year, and you know they get better as the season goes on. They'll, I'm sure, make a nice push in the playoffs as they normally do.
What, you're looking at me?
Yeah.
Want me to say something? Okay. Well, I'm looking at the results from this year, Coach, and you know it's good on one side for the offense, but it's good on the other side for the defense. What impresses you more? Do you like scoring more points or not giving up any? Because the SEC White champ, Greg Dolson and Tecumseh, they score a lot of points, but they give up a lot of points.
Well,
and he seems to be okay with that.
Well, that if you look at our past few years, we're scoring a lot of points, but also giving up a lot of points. And I made the comment at the end of the season, I'd like to win a game 14-10 or 21-14.
Just once in a while.
Once in a while. And I don't want to have to win a 51-50 game because those are miserable.
It's you
go down the field and score, and boom, the defense gives up a big play, and you're right back on the field again. So I've been on both sides. I would much rather be in a low-scoring dogfight than a high-scoring affair any day.
Well, of course, after next week, we've got the playoffs coming up. You're in Division II. And just looking at the possible games that you or possible teams that you would play from Snooze, we've got Portage Northern would be in your bracket. They won this weekend. Of course, they got a pretty good quarterback in Cole Mack going to Wayne State next year. I had a chance to see him a couple of weeks ago. He is the real deal. And Battle Creek Central and East Lansing, a couple of other teams that won over the weekend, 7-1 records. So I know it's kind of early to talk. You want to take one game at a time. But looking ahead, are you looking at these teams?
You know, we're keeping an eye on the whole playoff picture, whether we do end up going west like we did last year or end up staying home, you know, playing in the east. So we've got a couple scenarios painted out. But, you know, if we win this week, we'll have home field locked up throughout the playoffs, and that is always nice to play in your home stadium as opposed to traveling. So, you know, we're not really looking ahead because our kids say they want to win this game in the worst way against Chelsea. And once that's done, we'll play off Sunday. A week from now, we'll await our fate and find out who we're playing, and we'll go from there.
Do you have to worry about a letdown after that big victory over Celine?
No, not at all. I mean, it's simply because as
just
I
say Chelsea.
It's Chelsea, yeah. Our kids want to win this one in the worst way.
And was there some point in the season where you thought, you know, maybe we could do this? Was there a moment or a game where it kind of clicked and you're going, okay, we're pretty good, and we have a good shot here at the red?
Yeah, when we beat Huron, we lost a couple key defensive players to injury who are out for the season, unfortunately, and we ended up pulling that one off. It was against a team who's got 20 kids who have Division I scholarships. You talk about a talented team. I don't know if I've seen a team as talented as Ann Arbor Huron in quite some time, and we pounded the ball on the ground and just wore them out in the final series of the game and pulled that one off. And we said, yeah, we got a pretty good team. We got some depth because we had some kids step in due to the injury that I just mentioned. And, you know, we kind of talked this past week going into Celine. You know, we felt that we could win this game, but, you know, it could go either way.
Yeah.
And we said, we don't know how good we are. So we've got a lot of publications have us ranked number one in D1, and I don't know that we're number one, but I think we're certainly worthy of mention being in the top 10 there. But we got it. Like I said, we got a special team that only comes around all so often, and you can look back on the Adrian teams. You had a handful of those that, man, these are special teams, and you know, we won some district championships with those teams and league titles, of course, and you look back on them and those are special teams, and I think this is one, when I look back on it, it'll be a really special team.
I was just going to ask you, Phil, how many players have you coached that went on to play Division I football?
I know
Kellen Davis probably is one of them.
Kellen Davis, you think, you know, the kids, of course, the obvious ones, like Steve 3-2 went on to play. And we got the kids here at Dexter. We got three kids on this team that'll go on to play Division I. But it's you know, you get that Division I talent, it's hard to they're hard to come by. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we happen to have three of them this year. So, but they don't just grow on trees down here in Lenawee County. You get that kid every once in a while. That's a special talent, and you got to ride him.
One of the new rules in high school football is the fifth quarter rule. I'd like to get your opinion on that. I'm sure it's a good thing for high school football in Michigan.
I love it. It's the fact that our JVs practice with our varsity, and we suit, we probably suit 15 sophomores on Friday night. It just, you know, they get a lot of playing time in that fourth quarter where you can rest your starters, and then they can come back Saturday morning and play four quarters in the JV game. And I think one of the reasons I like it is because you're varsity coaching staff is coaching your 10th through 12th graders, and you can develop them and plug them right in.
That's great. Any final questions, Ian?
Looking at the schedule, it says Chelsea. Is that at your place or is that at Chelsea?
That's at Chelsea.
Okay. All right. It doesn't say on the website I'm looking at. So.
Yeah, yeah. So okay.
It's always a tough place to play.
Tough place to play, but we're looking forward to it. We can't wait.
Phil, we want to thank you for coming in and talking with us about Dexter football. Continued success for your entire team, and good luck in the playoffs coming up.
I appreciate that. Thanks for having me, and go Dresden. I hope the Maples get in this weekend, too. Go
Maples. Any comments about the Mapes?
Oh, it's great to see. Joel Przygotski's doing a heck of a job there. He's brought some new energy to the football program, and I think the leadership that they have in place at Adrian High School right now is supportive of athletics, and I think you're just going to see Adrian get better.
We certainly hope so. Again, thanks, Phil, for coming in. You're inside the cave. We got to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.